This is Jeff Peterson, and this is the Interstate of Music podcast. And with me for this podcast is Eddie Eberle of Eddie and the Getaway. And I mean, all the way up from, well, now Nashville.
Yep.
So why Nashville? I'm gonna ask the really blatantly effing obvious question. Like, why are you in Nashville?
Dude, so I moved from Arizona about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I just felt like I was still going to Arizona State for school. So
okay,
stop.
Okay, so you're going to Arizona State and you graduated from Arizona State?
In May. So I just graduated.
You just graduated.
Yep.
So why aren't you going for your like master's and then your extra master's and then your 17th master's? People don't leave Arizona State. You have to stay in Arizona State until you're at least 42.
That is very true. You know, if it wasn't for music, yes, I'd be doing my victory laps like a motherfucker.
I love it. So when you went to Arizona State, though, what were you thinking you wanted to do? Because I mean, Arizona State's not exactly like known for
music. No, yeah, that's true. I mean, so I ended up, I was either going to go to Belmont in Nashville because I'd heard that's like an awesome school to go to for music, or just get, you know, the degree because my grandma wanted me to get a degree. So I was like, all right, Grams, I'll hit you with the papers, but then I'm going to do music, which is cool. So she was like, all right, as long as you get that thing, you know what I mean? So I did it for kind of my family and stuff. And then ended up moving my sophomore year, and then the pandemic hit. And I got lucky, so all my like school got put online. So I got to finish it in Nashville, which was cool. So I got a little head start doing that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what do you think, what did you learn educational-wise? Like as far as going to school, what did you get out of it? And I'm not talking about coursework. What did you get as far as the experience that kind of helped you where you are now, whether it's like helped you get there or helped you know what you couldn't slide back into?
Well, you want the honest answer?
Yeah, I want the honest answer.
I figured out how to drink to the point of passing out without passing out. And that's actually been a big plus in my life.
This is
music.
You're not going to put it on your LinkedIn profile.
No,
but I mean,
not.
But I mean, that is
maybe in the extended bio version. I might put in like the credits down there. Big credits, Arizona State, drinking profusely without passing out. Signed sincerely, Eddie.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That is, from now on, I'm always going to ask for the honest answer because honest answer is way
there
better
you go.
Than what I thought, what I thought was going to come out. So that's good. What is your, other than Liquid Death?
Yeah.
What is your drink of choice? This sponsorship opportunity.
Sponsorship? Oh my goodness.
What's your drink of choice?
Okay.
Like, are you a beer guy? Are you like,
I love beer, but also, Mountain Dew seltzers that they just made.
Are so good.
The greatest thing ever.
They
like
seriously
the
are.
Blatt, dude.
They legit. Okay, so I was actually, God, where was I? It was only in so many states. So I was traveling for work and it like just launched and I was in a state that had it. And I went and I bought what it was, a 12 pack or whatever it was. It looks just like the regular cases. So I mean, if kids are walking through, they could easily grab that and go home. So they're amazing.
Incredible.
Like you can drink a ton of that stuff.
Yeah,
so good. So good. Well, shout out Mountain Dew for throwing a little something in there.
There you go.
So you're in Nashville. Do you travel back and forth to Arizona much at all?
Not a whole lot. So there's not like a huge the thing that Arizona doesn't have that Nashville has is like the community when it comes to music.
Okay.
I had like a community when I was doing music, but in Arizona, but it was kind of like more, it was like you could either do like super hard metal or you could do like EDM. And there wasn't a whole lot of like that, like pop rock country.
Is that because of the college student influence of what they were looking for to go out and just,
I think so. And it's a weird thing. Like Arizona loves to have music that is like out of somewhere else to come in. There's like a thing or something like that. So I felt like figuring out, you know, who I was as an artist. And that was kind of the thing of like my story of like getting, you know, I had like a record deal opportunity right out of high school. And then I had a couple more throughout like my first 2 years of college.
How did you get exposed to labels at all in high school to get some kind of an offer at age 18?
Yeah.
What were you doing to get that?
I was playing a lot. So I started playing in bars when I was like 13.
Okay.
And then just kind of went from there. And then started working with a guy named Johnny K, who was like my first like real producer I ever worked with, and he did like stuff from like Disturbed to Three Doors Down, Plain White Tees, like a lot of Grammy nominated, awesome dude. And kind of like taught me a lot when it comes to like with songwriting, like the type of in depth you have to go. And, you know, being that like my favorite artists are like Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and those like classic songwriters.
I mean, I'm 54, so that is like my wheelhouse right there. Yeah, that is it. That is it. I'm like, that is it. 100%.
Yeah.
So did you, so when you were that age, were you basically just singing cover songs and somebody wanted to sign you because they thought they could get songwriting done for you because they liked your vibe, your voice, or were you writing?
I was writing. So I got signed off of, I didn't take the deal, but I got the offer off of one song. It's called Wild American Boys. I'll be playing tonight, actually.
That's awesome.
But that song's still not out. So I wrote that when I was 17, and then we got the label deal when I was just graduated from high school. And then a couple other ones for this other song called California Runaway that I'll play.
Did it go viral or something, or somebody just randomly heard it?
It was so Johnny had sent it to a guy named he was an A&R at the label, and then he had shown it to the head of the label, and they were like, "Heck yeah, we want to sign him." So they flew us out to New York. Long story short, my like bassist had like wasn't able to go because he went to like Disneyland with his girlfriend instead. So is this whole
life
thing?
Life choices,
for sure. Which was totally cool. I was like, all right, that's fine, bro. So we ended up like meeting with them, and it was really about like me sticking to my guns. And like, I've even had, you know, some Nashville labels trying to sign, but it was really like picking country or rock. And back, you know, three years ago, you couldn't do both. And it was like, you had to prove it up first. So I took the route of, all right, I'm not going to choose one or the other because that's not authentic. Because where I grew up in Arizona, it was like, you go to the left and you have like, you know, 10 minutes down the road, it's like horse ranches and everyone's like super Southern. And then to the right, it's all like boob jobs and facelifts.
Yep.
Like city life. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I also don't know how like explicit I'm allowed to get on here. Should I not say?
No,
okay, cool.
So whatever. We'll beep whatever. Yeah.
Okay. but it's just authentic for me to like figure out like who I am as an artist. And through that process, I feel like now the music I'm making is truly me, and it is that crossover. And I've seen it with reactions on TikTok and just responses to the songs I've been releasing recently.
So when you moved to Nashville and you started like playing and playing out, how tough was it to even start? Like everybody and their brother is like, and sister is going to Nashville to give it a shot.
Yeah.
So what is it like? You make that decision to go. Sure, you went, you got there, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, no,
so
it's true.
So what was that? What was that initial struggle and challenge, and how quickly did you feel as though, okay, I'm living in Nashville for the right reasons. I'm here. Yeah. It's kind of working the way I had in my head. How long did that take?
Dude, honestly, the first year of Nashville was like really like second guessing the whole time, because like I moved, we had a college tour booked. And me and my drummer moved out, or me and my drummer at the time moved out there, and we played our first show up in Ohio, and it was like March 12th. It was the greatest night ever. It was like, dude, we're going to do this thing, man. And then next day get the phone call, hey, the rest of the tour is canceled. COVID hit, whatever that was, you know, we didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But then that next year of kind of figuring out like, what do we do? You know, it was like, and then he ended up moving back. So it was really just like me on my own trying to figure out, all right, I need to like, I knew one person in Nashville when I moved, and I couldn't meet anybody for that whole year.
Right.
Which was really tough. But I think it like gave me the opportunity to really figure out like why I was doing music. And even though it was like doubtful of like, I'm in this town and I don't know anybody, like how do you even get to that point of touring or meeting people, working with the right producers or writers and stuff. But it kind of gave me the reassurance of like, yeah, like if I can get through this like fully by myself at 19 years old and like figure out a way to like make money and, you know, like sustain that and keep writing and stuff.
Right.
It really was like a year almost to the day that I met like one of my best friends. His name's Bo Bailey. And, he's an awesome writer. And it was really like meeting him was the, like the switch that I needed to like
kind of connected all the dots and it 100%. Made sense to you.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting at in Nashville and you just get there and you know, the switch just gets flipped on you. Did you immediately jump into, because you're strong on social media, you know, that you've got a strong TikTok game, the rest of it. Did you jump on that right away? Or was that something that you feel that you were late to the game? Like, how
I feel like I was definitely late. Like, it was August of last year, so like a year from today.
Yep.
I was like, all right, I got to do something that's going to be like more than just being like a live performer. Cause at the end of the day, it was like these TikTok artists that were blowing up. Yep. They were getting all the shows.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, I'm gonna figure it out. So I had no following a year ago. I had like 2,000 followers on Instagram and nothing on TikTok. Yep. And then since then I was just like, all right, I'm going to figure out how to just do the dang thing. And it was cool. Cause I'd met people that had done it.
So they were coaching you a little bit.
Yeah. They were just kind of like, the biggest thing was like find stuff that like is really you.
Yeah.
And what I realized is like it takes a lot of time before, but I just like made a promise to myself. Like, I'm going to post every day and make music that feels authentic to me. And it seems to be like just now starting to catch and roll, which is nice to know that I'm not just crazy.
Yeah.
To think it, you know?
So other than music, what does Nashville feel like to you?
Yeah.
Other than music.
Dude, it really is like home, which is weird because it didn't feel like that for the first year and a half. And then being here now 2.5 years in Nashville.
Yeah.
I feel like I've just gotten like just the best friends that are doing the same thing as I am. Like whether it's like one of my buddies, Bailey Zimmerman or David J, Gavin Lucas, like these guys who are writers and artists that have just really done it and are doing it. And then being surrounded by them and just kind of coming from a very like friendship basis and then things working out, you know? So I think that's the biggest thing is like, I've got that like group of people that like I can rely on and they can rely on me, which has been the biggest thing.
Well, and you hear horror stories about any industry, but the music industry, you know, people are just trying to figure out how they can personally make it, how they can grab onto this, grab onto that, make money off of this person or that person. You hear about that. I know some of it's real. I know some of it's probably blown out of proportion. But in the end, to find that circle of friends that literally have your back, that you can call up and you can bounce something off of them, and you're going to get a real reaction so that you're not going down this road, wasting your time on something because they're like, Eddie, no, that's no good, man.
Yeah, no
good.
No, it is. They do hold me accountable, which is great. Like my buddy David, he's an awesome artist. He's had multiple songs, you know, with millions of streams and stuff, and he's younger than him. He's 18. He's very
young. How'd you guys meet?
So I was doing this thing called the 615 House. My buddy Chris Rudiger, who's the head of it, called me up. He's like, hey, man, we're doing like the season 2 of it. You know, we'd love to have you be part of it. And I was like, heck yeah, because I'd always wanted to be a part of it because that's what got me going was seeing their videos and seeing those artists make careers. Totally independent.
It's funny because when I was so when I got acquired Interstate Music, legitimately, I jumped on TikTok and started paying attention. I'm 54 years old and I'm on TikTok and telling people in my office that are 23, 24, 25 about TikTok.
Wow.
And it was one of those things. That's where I started to follow artists and up and coming artists. And that's where I started to see like stuff that you were putting out there. And then I started to tie into that 615 House thing. I think the individual artists, even before the 615 House even was a thing. And it was cool what was going on. And you could see a whole bunch of people just sitting there being themselves, putting their music out there and taking the reactions and taking the punches, you know, and just letting it go. And that 615 House, I mean, that's blown up.
Yeah. It's huge now. It's crazy.
So,
but I met David through that. Basically he came and slept on my couch. And then I had bunk beds. So he's like, dude, can I crash for a weekend? And it turned into 5 months and we were bunk bedding it like the Step Brothers, like literally awesome. Like Step Brothers for 5 months. And then I was like, all right, bro,
like you got to pay for that pillow.
Right, you know what I mean? So he got one of our roommates moved out and he got the room. And then, but it was super cool. Like with him, something that really helped me like elevate my career was putting out a song with him. And that just came from like us literally, like I have videos, which is funny. I'll show you. It's funny.
Cause he's country.
Yeah. He's country. He's a pop country. Yeah.
So, I mean, again, when you are kind of deciding what your genre is, what lane you're going down, I mean, that's an interesting mix, but a logical one for where music is going.
Yeah. And it's cool too, because I think what I love about country compared to some of the other genres is that it's such like it was very exclusive, but I feel like now country is such an umbrella to where like if you just believe in like being a good person, like you can fit into country music, which is super sick. And that's kind of what I learned from like, whether it's David or Bailey or, you know, Gavin, any of these guys that are doing it on like a real level, like having Billboard number, like big songs, is like taking the parts that you love about the different genres and just being truthful with it.
And it's crazy because as we've had artists come through and play on the stage, every single artist that's come through and just because we've gotten strong ties into Nashville through the people that have come here, because they are legitimately unbelievable human beings. And they're so generous and so nice introducing and telling other people to come here and, you know, calling them on the phone when I'm standing next to them. We've had, I just feel as though you're right. It's, they're so real, down to earth, and they're not in competition with anybody.
Yeah.
You never feel like they're like trying to hold back secrets from you totally or anything true. Like that. They want you to succeed beyond where they are.
For
and,
sure.
And I think it's just a vibe.
Yeah.
And it's
well,
real.
It speaks volumes about like you too, man. It's like what you're creating here is like such a like, I mean, I was telling you earlier today is like, I got here and I was like, dude, I still don't believe this is too good. Like, it's too good to be true. Like you having like Mitch drive us up overnight because I couldn't get off like what I was doing last night.
Yeah.
Driving us up 9.5 hours to get here because you believe in the artists you're working with. And like, that's going to make everyone believe in what you're doing too.
Oh,
like it's awesome.
That's like
dude.
Goosebump.
Well, it's true, dude. Like I feel so lucky to be here. To be honest.
And it's funny cause everybody here at Interstate Music, the bright spot of their job is literally when the artists come through and they get
so
a
cool.
chance to meet them and kind of help anybody that comes through have an experience that they're always going to remember at some point and they're going to be able to talk about it and say something and they're just hanging out. They're literally, there's no extra intention to it. It's just giving a platform, giving you an experience to come in here and share your music in front of a bunch of people that are here to actually listen to you versus so many times that you're playing in a bar. And I owned a bar for 7 years, so I get it, you know, and I brought in original music into my bar and it would drive me crazy that people are just sitting there talking to each other, laughing and having their own world while you've got this artist up there that it's busting their ass to try to entertain them with something that's coming from them, that's original and they're putting it out there. And it would drive me crazy. So one of the big things here is it's VIP invite only. So the people that are coming here because they want to see new music, new artists. And it's been a cool journey for us because we get a chance to kind of experience your guys' journeys.
Yeah, no, it's super awesome, man. I'm really excited for just everything that you guys are doing here.
So what's next for you? What do you want to be next? And what do you think is actually like really close that you're going to be doing? And then where do you want to be a big touring artist? Do you want to be a singer-songwriter that's helping others? Do you want to, like, what's that combination of who you want to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, like, in the most non-cocky way possible, like, I want to be the biggest artist possible. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
If you're not striving to be that, what the hell are you waking up in the morning for?
Yeah,
I totally agree.
But, yeah, dude, I mean, it's for music, it's always been, like, I know some people get into music for either the girls or, like, the fame part or the fun part, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But for me, like music has always been like about connecting with people. And that's something that TikTok has allowed me to do in a time where you weren't allowed to tour.
Yep.
And just like getting messages of like songs that you release, then people DMing, like I've had so many messages and they're like heavy messages where it's like, yo, not sure if I was going to make it this week.
Yeah.
But because of hearing your song, like it gave me hope. And it's like, holy crap.
So it's funny you just bring up a similar story. So Austin Giorgio, who's played here, I saw him on The Voice, I think it's 2018 or whatever. And I was following him and I kept following his story. And all of a sudden, boom, he started popping up on TikTok. So I started reaching out to him. Just like I was reaching out to you and trying to get you to pay attention to me and
it's because what you're doing.
Some old guy stalking you over here. Pay no attention to me. I swear, I really am. I'm not weird.
Well,
I'm not creepy.
No, it's because of what you're doing. It sounds too good to be true. It's literally like what you guys are doing here is so never been done. It's like you guys are doing it for the right reasons. You're given like incredible opportunities. You guys are so nice. Getting content, hanging out with cool people, playing music like that most of the time doesn't actually happen.
And that's why what kind of brought me to that about Austin Giorgio is he said the same thing you just said about connecting to people and writing music to connect to people. And he had those same stories in literally a podcast I was doing. I mean, he started like getting really emotional about this one back and forth that he had with somebody that a song, you know, touched him a certain way or helped them get through something very serious. And I think a lot of people don't realize when you put yourself out on social media, period, you hear about, oh, there's a lot of haters out there, but there's also a lot of like people that are relying on just reaching out to try to get something back. Yeah. And that's a lot of pressure on a person that's putting it out there. And especially as a musician and artist that wrote the song, wrote the lyrics, mm-hmm. and don't know how people are going to take it. And then all of a sudden there, people are like reaching out to you with that. A lot of people would just be like, oh, I don't know what to say. I'm not a therapist. Yeah. I'm not a this. I'm not responding to that. Yeah. Oh, gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's like the biggest compliment in the world.
It is. It really is. When you've got a person that expresses any level of emotion that your song helped them through or connect to in any way, shape, or form, it's you know you're doing the right thing. Yeah. That's, you're living the way you should be living because that's what you're here for.
Damn right.
So I love it. So what is what's next as far as song releases, albums, no albums, mm-hmm. like what's the magic pixie dust to try to get to be the greatest artist that's ever played on stage?
There you go. Well, so right now I'm releasing, so I just released a new song called Her. I have one coming out called Weren't the One. It's coming out on September 9th. And basically like doing a new single every basically 4 to 6 weeks. And I'm not going to stop that until... It kind of like because I've just always looked up to
artists.
Is that
what the music industry is saying is kind of the template of way to do it, or is this just like that's what I'm doing?
Well, I've done like I'm as much of like an artist and like deep thinker and that of a person I am. I'm also like very like strategic when it comes to things.
Yep.
And like I think that because of trying so many different things, I've like learned a lot of like what has worked and all that stuff, and like even like researching like on Spotify, like. Their quarterly reports of like what is the algorithm like, you know, and it's 4 to 6 weeks it releases and you have a better chance of doing certain things. And also I think that like building trust in your whatever fans, followers, listeners, like is allowing them to know, hey, like I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like if you're not going anywhere as a listener, I'm not going anywhere as an artist, and we're going on this journey. Cause what I want my music to symbolize and to be for people is like what a Tom Petty or Bruce Springsteen, which are lifelong artists that people at whatever age, whether you're 16 or 58, can be like, I'm going to listen to this guy.
I'm glad you said 4 years older than me. So I got 4 more years.
You're in. You got four more years. Then you're screwed. Left of
So here's what I absolutely love about your music. And the reason why I stalked you to try to get you to connect and get here is because I absolutely love your f***ing music.
Thank you.
I love your sound. I love your vibe. I could grab onto the authenticity of who you were.
Thank you.
As much as you're a free spirit, and I'm like, he's legitimately a free spirit. Like he's not faking it. He's not this. And I connect to the music, and I'm going to say it right now. I don't think your music is music somebody will outgrow.
Thank you.
I think your music is, you know, not age specific. And I think it will stay. Like, I'm going to listen to the songs that you have out now, 15 years from now. Like, I'm an 80s music lover, right?
Yeah.
That is the way I look at your music, where people that listen to it, this isn't a decade world anymore for music genre. It really doesn't feel that way. It's all over the place. And I feel like your music is going to just stand the test of time. And I think, yes, you'll grow as an artist. In some cases, I think you might only be the one that realizes that you're growing as an artist, mm-hmm. because it might come easier. You might do things differently. But I think your music is going to be so much of a connection to people that it's just going to always be there.
Thank you.
And this is a tough.
That's a massive compliment.
I mean it. I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. Plus, it's out there for the rest of everybody's lives to see. But and I don't say this on every podcast because honestly, it's one of those things where. Either an artist has that in all of their music, or they've gotten a couple really good songs, and boy, I hope you get a couple more someday, you know? Yeah. But every song that you play, every song that you put out there is a song that I'm like, banger, great song.
Thank you. Love it.
So best luck in everything that you do. You've got to stay part of the Interstate Music family. I mean,
heck yeah, I'd
like you're stuck, you know, you're gonna get invited for Thanksgiving and all that. thanks for being on the podcast, and thanks for playing the Interstate Music Stage, man.
You're the man. Appreciate you.
It's good stuff. This is Jeff Peterson. This is Eddie Eberle, Eddie and the Getaway.
There we go.
And this was the Interstate Music Podcast. So download, do like all this and like download, stream, share, you know, help this guy go.
There we go.
It's up to you guys. It's not just up to him. All right, we're out.